Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Republican voters in Bexar County Precinct 3 are being asked to select their nominee for Commissioner's Court to be on the November ballot. The two runoff candidates are Tom Rickoff and Trish DeBerry. The seat is being vacated by Republican Kevin Wolf. Election day is July 14th. Early voting begins on June 29th. The winner of the runoff will face Christina Hortick, a Democrat, in the November 3rd general election. We're going to be hearing from the two Republican runoff candidates, Rickoff and DeBerry, about their history and views regarding Republican values. Our objective is to have a fair forum and civil discussion. We will not allow personal attacks, and the candidates are asked not to characterize their opponent. If they do so, they lose the balance of their question time, and their opponent is given 30 seconds an opportunity to respond. We start with two-minute opening statements, then questions. We'll alternate who goes first, 2 minutes for those answers, and then we're going to have a one-minute closing statement for each. I'll be keeping time, and when the 2 minutes is up, I'll be ringing this bell. We welcome listener questions, and we ask that your questions be direct, to the point, not personal attacks. Also open so that both of the candidates have something to answer. The number to call is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Now let's get started with the candidates. Tom Rickoff, he won the most votes on Super Tuesday. So Judge Rickoff, you go first with the opening statements, and you have 2 minutes.
A very good afternoon to you, David, and to you, Trish. It's such a pleasure to be on TPR. I've always urged you to have me on, and this is my first opportunity. I'd like to begin by telling you that, as candidates often do, I was born on a naval air station while my father served in the Philippines and my mother waited. Thankfully, my father returned, not too disabled, only slightly, and then he raised 7 children. My son was not as fortunate. He was medevaced from Iraq, sent to a hospital in Germany, and eventually medically discharged. And he now serves at the VA hospital escorting patients as a law enforcement officer, and I'm so blessed to have him back. And for myself, I was assigned, my first orders in the Army were as the attaché at the embassy in Rome, Italy. I turned those orders down and volunteered for a combat brigade in Vietnam, lived in a tent for a year, earned the Bronze Star and the Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry, flew in helicopters every day. And I mentioned this because folks have been making calls to voters saying that I'm against veterans. I spent 28 years as a judge advocate officer doing estate planning and wills every week for veterans. Few people would know more about veterans' rights. And so I'm offended that someone is paying to read a script about how I'm against veterans in this election.
All right. Tom Rickoff, we're going to cut you off there. 2 minutes are up. We'll have plenty of time to hear more about your past and your views. Now let's switch over to Trish DeBerry. And Trish, you have 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, David. Thanks for the opportunity to be on the program. We have some stark comparisons between the candidates. But also, I want to talk about why I originally got into this race. Got into this race because, quite honestly, I was frustrated with what I saw as anti-business decisions that were being made in local government, whether that was no Chick-fil-A in the airport, whether that was, you know, a decision regarding the Republican National Convention coming to San Antonio that was made behind closed doors. Did not even have the opportunity to be vetted. So Quite honestly, I became a little bit frustrated and got into the race. And I'm a native San Antonian, born and raised here. Got here by way of the fact that my father is an Air Force veteran who's 93 years old. Grown up in a precinct, I've seen the opportunities, the challenges associated with a precinct. And when I talk about I want to bring a business mindset to the course, that's exactly what I want to be able to do. Having founded two businesses, I'm a fiscal conservative. I see every day the amount of taxes that go out of my business. I also know the government doesn't make it very easy to be a small business person. 85% of the economy in Bexar County is built on the backs of small businesses. And certainly post-global pandemic, I think you want somebody in the seat who's had to make tough decisions, who have signed not only at the back of a paycheck, but the front of a paycheck, who has weathered storms like 9/11, the downturn in the economy in 2009, as well as even a global pandemic. I've experienced with contracting budgets, implementing hiring freezes, and I think now more than ever, we have a great opportunity to take a look at city-county consolidation so the government operates a lot more efficiently and effectively.
Okay. The two minutes are up there. And Trisha Berry, we're going to be hearing more about your views or your plans for the future. But first, we're going to move on to the questions part of the forum here. I do want to remind listeners that our phone line is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You have an opportunity to ask the candidates, Tom Brickoff and Trisha Berry. They are candidates for the Republican runoff for County Commissioners Precinct 3, and you can ask them a question. Well, I have a question first off, and I want to tap into the breaking news that we have. Trish DeBerry, you'll be going first. County Judge Nelson Wolf is declaring a new state of emergency to deal with the wave of COVID-19 cases. He's ordering that if you work or visit a business in Bexar County, you will be required to have a mask on starting next week. Trish DeBerry, you have 2 minutes to give us your reaction to that news. Okay, well, apparently we're not having a very good line with Trish DeBerry, so I'm going to go ahead and switch over to Tom Brickoff, and maybe we can get that cleaned up in the next couple of minutes. So, Tom Brickoff, you have 2 minutes to tell us what do you think about Nelson Wolf's declaration here.
Yes, I hope you do clean that up, because Trish is very smart and well-informed and needs to be heard. Follow the law, David. I think there's constitutional problems with the order I just heard about, but here's my overall attitude. He is elected, and Governor Abbott is elected. Of course, Abbott is superior, as the President of the United States is superior to Abbott, all right? And so we follow case law and statutes, and that's what we should do. But I think that folks who criticize those in power are a little bit like the cowardly soldiers who hide up in the mountains during the battle and then come down at night and pillage and kill the wounded and then sneak off in the night again. You know, they don't have the responsibility. They're only critics. So in my personal life, I can't afford to lose my wife, who has a health problem. And so she needs to take care of me the rest of my life. I am distancing, and I am wearing a mask. Trish says she's walked to 10,000 houses with her mask on sometimes. I think that's a huge error, and I'm not going to do it.
All right. Do we have Trish DeBerry back now? Yes or no? Okay, so
yes,
Trish.
All
right, I'm sorry about that glitch. I think your phone was there. So you have 2 minutes to give us your reaction to the mandate we're hearing from Judge Wolf. It is an emergency order to deal with COVID-19 cases, telling people that they have to mask up if they go to a business. If businesses are responsible, if they don't require people to mask up, then the businesses could be fined $1,000. What is your reaction?
First of all, my reaction, I want to respond to Tom Brickoff. When I talked about the fact that I block walked, most of the block walking that we did was prior to the pandemic. Yes, and we took the campaign to the doorstep. We just started block walking last week, and we were walking with masks. I have pictures to be able to prove that. But regarding your specific question regarding the directives, from the county judge. You know, I have long said that we've got to balance reopening the economy and also safeguarding the health of the community. I personally, when I go into HEB and I go into places, I will wear a mask because out of courtesy for others. But it's a fine line, too, because it's also, you know, private businesses have the right to be able to tell people, much like HEB has done, whether they wear a mask or whether they don't wear a mask. So there are some constitutional right issues associated with this. But I think for the most part, I've seen great cooperation in the community of San Antonio regarding wearing masks. And I hope that we will continue to do that. But I've also been very adamant about the fact that we've got to balance reopening the economy with the public health and safety.
All right. So I do want to remind our two candidates that we're trying not to characterize your opponent. If you could just try and focus on yourself and all the great things that you've done and the great things that you want to do, then I think we'll be able to avoid having to cut you off and remind you that we're going to focus on ourselves. So let's go continue our conversation with the candidates here. And so Trish DeBerry, if you get elected to the pass through the runoff, and then if you pass the general election in November, then the candidate here will be on the commissioner's court, and most likely will be only Republican on the commissioner's court, given the trend of things. So the relationship with Nelson Wolf will be very important, the county judge. Can you talk about your relationship with Nelson Wolf moving forward for 2 minutes?
So I think in getting onto the court, I mean, certainly want to bring that fiscal conservative mindset to the court. I've talked about the fact that we've got to rein in spending. We've got to look at discretionary spending and cutting back on that. And we've got to focus on a platform that puts people back to work. Whether those are shovel-ready projects, et cetera. And certainly over the course of business, you know, relative to my career, yes, I'm there. I do know Nelson Wolf, as I know many other members of the court. But I've also said that from a contrarian standpoint, you know, I'm going to push back and I'm going to push back hard. Certainly, Judge Wolf and I have not agreed on everything, and we will continue not to agree on everything, especially when it comes to spending. My business would not be as successful as it's been if I hadn't curtailed spending. In my own, and certainly in my personal and professional lives. And so, anyway, I think that we've got to be able to work with other members of the court, even though they are of a different partisan nature. But the best thing that you can say, Dave, is from a conservative standpoint, yes, this is the Republican seat. People want to rein in spending, and I know how to do that.
Now, Tom Rickoff, if you could tell us about your relationship with Judge Wolf.
Go ahead. Say again.
If you could tell us about your relationship with County Judge Nelson Wolf, and how do you see the ability that you would have to work with him to accomplish your goals if you end up on the commissioner's court?
I had an excellent relationship with Nelson Wolf for many decades. We had lunches together. I would drive him to speeches. And then we had a falling out on a guardianship program. I wanted $300,000 for the emergency guardianship program that took care of folks that were running in the streets and liable to die, and no one was there to look after them, and we had to appoint guardians. I needed this small amount of money, and he said flat to me, that is not county business. It's not going to be in the budget. And that was our disagreement that began troubles. And then 3 weeks later, the same person who told me it wasn't in the budget bought three statues for the front lawn of the courthouse, those Canary Island statues. And so I thought it was rather odd that we passed on this huge need just because that was his opinion. Of course, health is a county responsibility. And so later, he spent $400,000 contesting my colleague's appointment of a mental health judge, who was terrific, and insisted on appointing one himself, and then said at commissioner's court that he would spend $1 million in attorney's fees to fight it. Of course, it's not his money. And that began my review of what's happening in commissioner's court, and that's why I ran. It also was offensive to me that he said he would not protect the aquifer. Having pure water is one of the most vital issues in our community. Your grandchildren and children won't be able to live here without it. And he said, quote, "I think it's a waste to spend money on rich ranchers in other counties when it's unnecessary." What he meant was the contributing zone should not be protected. And he wanted to spend it on the bus system instead.
All right, Tom Rickoff, we got you there. So you're out of time on 2 minutes. And our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to a question about conflicts of interest. So Tom Rickoff, you also have a brother in politics, Jerry. Many people know him, county clerk for many, many years. Now he is the nominee for sheriff for the Republican here in Bexar County. If he gets elected, he'll be sheriff. And if you get on the commissioner's court, you'll be on the court. And people say there could be a conflict of interest on that. Do you have a, how would you deal with possible conflicts of interest?
Yes, thank you, David. And of course, you're parroting Gilbert Garcia, who wrote about that today. And thankfully, Gilbert came down from Boston to be with us and live with us here and some time to tell us how to live. And he attended Harvard, so we certainly ought to listen to him. But he passed up the prime ethical issue in this entire race. $25,000 a month was paid to my opponent for the toll road.
Right. So every month. So Judge Rickoff, if you could just focus on your issue, and Trish will have an opportunity to talk about her stuff.
The main issue in this race is her conflicts. She just picked up $75,000. Okay,
we will ask her about that in just a moment, but I really would like to hear about how you would plan to handle the, if you and your brother end up elected in November, how is that going to work out?
David, I don't know if you have a sibling or if Gilbert does, but those listeners who do have siblings, how often do you let your brother dictate to you? Jerry and I had a huge argument when one of our staff members, the year I left, decided to divert some money from his budget. He insisted that I fire him, and that person. And I said, I can't fire him. It's the other judge's staff member. I'm not going to do that. And so that was a dispute that lingered for a long time. We're both strong people. There is no conflict. When Jerry's wrong, I'm happy to say so. But let me say this. Let me say this. $45,000 from Wells, who got a sheriff indicted but with bribery by contributions, went in contributions to the sheriff. Any change would be better than that. That Wells also gave my opponent $10,000 and the Wolves $45,000 for a total of $140,000.
Okay.
To elected officials.
That's 2 minutes. And so let's move on to Trish DeBerry. This is a question of conflict of interest. Public relations business does a lot of business with the city, with the county, other quasi-governmental agencies here like Sarah. How would you handle conflicts of interest if you become a county commissioner?
Thanks, Dave, for the opportunity to clarify. I have said on more than one occasion, if I am blessed enough to be able to get into this office, that I would resign that work and I would walk away from that work, period, the end. You know, I think it's good to add some perspective to this and let you know that, you know, 80% of the work that my business does is in the private sector. You know, we've done a lot of work, as you know, Dave, with the H-E-B Grocery Company over the years, the hero of this pandemic. A lot of work with Baptist Health System over the years, who are still saving lives every single day associated with the pandemic. Done a lot of work for Mission Pharmacol, which is diaper cream for babies, and helped to market that across the United States. So I think my point is that a majority of our work is private sector work. Anything that's in the public sector, like I said, that presents a real or perceived conflict of interest, I will walk away from. And I have also said that if I get elected, I will not pursue public sector work.
Okay, another question. This is a question from an email from Joanne, and this goes first to Trish DeBerry, candidate for Bexar County Commissioner's Court, Precinct 3, looking for the Republican nomination. Joanne asked us in email, what plan do you have to alleviate the problem of homelessness in our communities? We know that there's a rising number of people who are being displaced from their homes due to the loss of jobs with the COVID-19 response. What do you think the county's responsibility should be in dealing with this issue? And Trish DeBerry.
Sure. So thanks for the question, Joanne. It is a vexing problem and has continued to be a vexing problem. My office in downtown San Antonio, and so I certainly see the problem that we have with homeless firsthand. Haven for Hope has done a great job regarding that initiative, and I know we'll continue to do great work. But the last thing we need right now is for people to be homeless and evicted and back out on the street. And so when I talk about, you know, I want to bring big ideas and a vision, you know, a vision based upon the skill set that I've honed in the business world, is that we've got to focus first and foremost on something that package what have you, microloans, but helping small businesses and putting people back to work. You know, what does that look like? Are they infrastructure shovel-ready projects? You know, a lot of this is, as I talk about cutting spending, it's about looking at the budget and scrubbing it and figuring out where we have the cost savings so that we can put more money into the basics. And certainly that priority right now is getting people back to work. If we can do that and we're successful in doing that, I mean, we certainly will not be contributing to the homelessness problem, but it will continue to be a problem that we have to get a handle on. We don't have to look very far, but up the street to Austin to see that they have a huge problem. I think we've done a much better job handling the homelessness problem, and we've got to continue to tackle that problem as we move on.
And now, Tom Rickoff, how would you want to handle the homelessness problem, the chronic and also the transitional homeless that we're seeing with the COVID-19 response?
David, she didn't answer the question about what the county is going to do at all.
Well, that's for the voters to, you know, analyze and decide. So let's talk about what you want to do.
And David, she said three different things about whether she'd step away from her business, and you didn't follow up. She said she'd totally step away. Then she'd say she wouldn't take certain contracts. And then she says she wouldn't take contracts with the county. She said three entirely
sure,
different
but
things.
Now we have her on the record and we know that. So let's move on to what your response is to dealing with the chronic issue that could be really that's troubling for the county.
Okay, here, David. $4 billion in debt. You and I met at the Starbucks, and I told you all about this arm's length a couple of years ago, when we were only $3.6 billion in debt. So pre-virus, we have the largest debt of any government entity in the state of Texas, and the hospital district at $2 billion is second in the entire state. All these commissioners will be gone, and your grandchildren will still have this debt. We cannot add to that debt, and we have to return to core courthouse, roads, responsibility, safety, public safety, things that are the county's responsibility. The homeless are the federal responsibility, HUD, so forth, and possibly the state's responsibility. But the county should not be going out and building housing when we already have this huge debt and we're neglecting things like the guardianship program. And that's why I got in the race, so we can return to core responsibility and have a plan to pay that debt. There's no plan to pay that enormous debt, $4 billion plus $2 billion.
All right.
Thank you, David.
All right. So this is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We are having a candidate forum for the Republican primary runoff, Bexar County Commissioner's Court, Precinct 3. Our two candidates are Tom Rickoff and Trish DeBerry. Our phone lines are open. You can ask a question to the candidates, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Now let's go to Daniel on the phones. Daniel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, and Tom Rickoff will be first to answer your question.
Yes, thank you all. My question is for both candidates, and it's, how are you going to work with the tax assessor collector's office to address the issue of rising property values here in Bexar County. Thank you.
All right. And Tom Rickoff, you have 2 minutes.
What a perfect question. Now, these are technical words, but listen, the only way to get tax relief is to adopt the effective tax rate. Okay, so my house is assessed in the $200,000 range. It's in the center of Precinct 3, and it went up 8.5%, and everybody else's did. So when it goes, when the appraisals go up like that, Commissioner's Court never really reduces the tax rate, the fraction of taxes that you have to pay. So what you do by adopting the effective tax rate is you reduce the tax rate a great deal till you return to the same level of revenue, the same revenue that they got last year. Their revenue is $1.7 billion and goes up every year. That's why they can spend $550 million on the San Pedro Creek, which my opponent has paid $46,000 a month to talk about of taxpayer money. And so that's what we need to do. And her plan is to have elected assessors. That would be chaos. I talked to all the experts. They said the legislature will never pass that, and the governor will never sign it. They do that in California, and they've learned their lesson that it doesn't work. It just adds more politicians to the overlay. It just will not work. It's a nice applause line. It will not work. The only thing you can do is adopt the effective tax rate and reduce the revenue so they're not awash in money to waste on projects that are none of the county's business. Thank you, David.
All right. Trish DeBerry, you have 2 minutes to respond to what would you do about rising property taxes?
Okay. Thank you, Daniel. Great question. You know, even going into the runoff, I was the only candidate that was really focused on appraisal reform because I'm all about giving the taxpayer a voice. And so, you know, when I was block walking pre-pandemic and taking the campaign to the doorstep, I mean, we talked a lot at the doorstep about rising property values, especially in Precinct 3. Precinct 3 pays more than 40% of the property taxes in Bexar County. And it's not enough just to keep the tax rate flat or low when valuations are going through the roof. That is an effective tax increase. So one of the ideas that I know that my opponent does not like is, yes, when you look at the board of directors of the Bexar Appraisal District, they are all appointed, meaning the chief appraiser has some hand in some of those appointments. I, if I'm elected to the office, want to be put onto that board because I want to represent the taxpayer. And I think we should open it up to an elected office because we need people with more experience when it comes to finance and appraisals. And I want somebody more than just me who's representing the taxpayer. You know, my opponent says it can't be done. You know, look, I'm a deep diver. I'm not a seat warmer. You know, I'm ready to dig in and I am ready to take this all the way to the legislature because I think it's worth at least broaching the conversation. I'm used to doing heavy lifting, and this is going to be a heavy lift. My opponent doesn't want to do that heavy lift. That's fine. But we have got to start the conversation, and I am ready to dig in when it comes to appraisal reform.
All right. So we really didn't get a really good idea of your qualifications, both your candidates, when we had the opening statement. So I want to kind of return to that area where you could sort of, if you're meeting a voter for the first time, what do you really want them to know about you? Make your pitch right now, and you'll still have a closing statement, but I really want to hear from both of the candidates, you know, why you should be the next county commissioner from Precinct 3. And Trish DeBerry, it's your turn first. 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. First of all, you know, I mentioned some of that in my opening statements, but, you know, I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm an independent, successful businesswoman and not going to shy away from that. I have created jobs for people all of my life over the past 20 years, and I would tell you that I have eaten, slept, and breathed Republican principles, especially when it comes to creating jobs and putting people back to work. It's been a long time since I think we've had a business mindset on the court. There again, somebody who's used to looking at profit and loss statements, somebody who's used to making difficult decisions, you know, when it comes to implementing strategies regarding workforce, And also, I talked a little bit in the opening statement that I had about city-county consolidation. There have been a lot of people that have talked the talk regarding city-county consolidation, but I am ready to walk the walk. I think more than ever in a global pandemic, we've seen the city and we've seen the county have to work together. And I think a lot of people, even in elected office right now, have realized, look, there are some areas that we can cut. I mean, if we look at the city and the county having two economic development departments, they have two staffs, they have two budgets. Why do we need two of them? If we look at public works, why can't we streamline that process in public works and, you know, combine public works of the city with the county to be able to save money? I want government to be smaller, and I want it to work more efficiently and effectively for the taxpayer.
Now, Tom Brickoff, you have 2 minutes to give us more background about yourself and why you are the candidate for this job.
I agree about the ideal of consolidation. It isn't going to happen. Commissioner Larson wanted to do it. Nelson, very early in his career, tried to do it. There's too many fiefdoms at risk in the hundreds of counties throughout the state. It's not worth talking about anymore. Great idea, isn't going to happen. And then so after Vietnam, I was selected to be an organized crime and racketeering strike force special prosecutor in New Orleans, where I specialized in trying mafia figures and had 90% of the convictions out of five prosecutors in the office. I was very successful. And then I went on to be the chief of special crimes at the U.S. Attorney's Office here in the Western District of Texas. And as a prosecutor, tried con men and thoroughly understood business practices. Then I went on to become the first Republican ever in 150 years in Bexar County. And I can tell you, over that course of decades, no one ever saw Trish DeBerry around the GOP. And when she loses, no one will see her again. But in any event, I've been in the courthouse. It'd be hard to find a person who's had more business experience and county experience if you look through the history of county commissioners. I've tried the biggest cases in the courthouse. The Benson case was a $4 billion civil case. I've tried capital murder cases. There's very little that I was not able to accomplish that I tried.
All right. And so the two candidates, you're looking to replace the current commissioner from Precinct 3. That would be Kevin Wolf, Republican representing the precinct. Tom Brickoff, what kind of grade would you give Kevin Wolf for the job that he's done? What lessons would you have learned and mistakes that you would like to avoid?
Well, you know, he's a wonderful a man, and I felt so badly for him for a while, and because he came in to speak to a group I was in, and a man asked him, "Why do you always vote with your father?" And his answer was, "Because my father's always, almost always right." So I had the impression that wonderful man that he is, took care of his mother, took her into his house. He's generous. He's kind. You know, he's just a swell person. But I'm going to be a strong, strong conservative voice on that court, and I'm not coming out of the Wolf family. You know, Trish was the person who was asked to appear when Kevin had his little misadventure, and she explained the ambience.
Let's talk about you, Tom Brickoff, you, and what you think about Kevin Wolf. We'll talk to Trish a bit.
I feel badly for him, and I wish him well.
Trish DeBerry, what kind of grade? We didn't get a grade. Tom Brickoff, you got a grade A through F. What grade would you give Kevin Wolf?
No, I'm not giving him a grade.
All right. No. Trish DeBerry, what grade would you give Kevin Wolf, and what do you think about his tenure on the court?
Look, I certainly would give Kevin a passing grade. He hasn't been perfect. I don't think he's been conservative enough for my liking. But let's face it. I mean, he's broken down doors when it's come to being a stalwart proponent of transportation. If we look at Wurzbach Parkway, Wurzbach Parkway probably would not be there if it weren't for Kevin Wolf. When you look at Veterans Affairs, Kevin opened up the Veterans Service Center or Transition Center over on the Near East Side next to Joint Base San Antonio. And that was a program all about transitioning folks out of military service and into the private sector. I think that's a great program. Like I said, I'm the daughter of an Air Force veteran, and I want to continue programs like that for sure. But I also want to focus, too, on something called what is trailing spouses, meaning the spouses of military people sometimes have an even harder time transitioning back into the private sector. So I still think there is work that we can do in that respect. And then, you know, folks probably remember, you know, Kevin took over ACOG when it was going through a very difficult time and really held down two different jobs. He was out of county commissioner, but he also whipped ACOG back into shape. So, look, I think there are some great things that Kevin has done. Do I think there could have been more, especially when it comes to appraisal reform and property taxes? Yeah, I do. But I think you have to respect anybody who's been a public servant.
Now, the area that y'all want to represent, the Precinct 3 area, it's the Republican part of Bexar County. This is a seat that's been traditionally held by Republicans. Do you think that we've got redistricting coming up? Do you think that this has been a gerrymandered, compacted district for conservative voices in Bexar County? You think that needs to be changed? What would you do about reforming how the lines are drawn with the Bexar County Commissioner Precinct Districts, Trisha Berry?
So I think we've got to take a really close look at that, David, because if you look at the precinct itself, it's about 536,000 people. I mean, that's the equivalent of probably two congressional districts. So it's huge, you know, and it's tough from a campaign standpoint to make sure that you're reaching everybody and you're listening to everybody. You know, I want to be more accessible. I want to open up a field office at the JP, Justice of the Peace office that's in Precinct 3 right now so that folks have access to me to voice concerns and thoughts. And, you know, it's over off Nakoma, so you don't have to come all the way downtown and park and go into the courthouse. But because the precinct is as big as it is, that's why we need to have a field office for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think we've got to take a close look at redistricting. There are many, many, many needs regarding infrastructure. Growth is only going to continue. We've seen a lot of growth within the precinct, not to mention the fact the precinct has most of the municipalities. When you look at Chavano Park, when you look at Castle Hill, Alamo Heights, Carroll Hills, Almas Park, almost all of those people have, you know, flooding and drainage issues that they're looking to the county to help fund those items. And so, yeah, as we look at the possibility of redistricting, I think, you know, we need to take a look at what the precinct looks like so that we can better serve the constituents of Precinct 3.
And Tom Rickoff, what would you do about the precinct, how the precinct is drawn as we go into redistricting? What kind of lines would you like to see changed?
Yes, David, I'm glad you said gerrymander because that's precisely what Commissioner's Court has done. They packed all the GOP there. So in Precinct 4, no GOP person could run. And then they associated a lot of neighborhoods that are GOP with Precinct 4 but diluted it. So they never want two GOP voters. I mean, this is kind of a purple county. You know, I've been in office a long time as a Republican. And then, you know, I was best man for Jeff and Carla, Jeff Wentworth, who's out at that field office. And I'm going to office right next door to him. He's one of the finest commissioners we've ever had, along with Lamar Smith, in the history of our county. And that is going to be my office. And I will go down, I will travel down instead of the constituents down to the courthouse and deal with Commissioner's Court. But my office is going to be right next to Jeff's office out there off 281 in the very center of this precinct. And she's right. We've got huge growth. 100,000 new people last year came into Precinct 3. We're going to have to cut up the lines again. And it won't be done fairly unless there's transparency and a person on Commissioner's Court who's been a longtime Republican, shares the values of the GOP, and I'm proven all my life that I am that person. So, David, I've run 28 times on the ballot in Precinct 3 and never lost.
Let's go to a voicemail question. This is from Ashley.
Hi, this is Ashley. I'm a Precinct 3 resident, and I'm wondering the candidate's thoughts on the current police brutality issues, especially in regard to the sheriff's budget, as it's 40% of the county budget.
All right. So, so Tom Rickoff, you have 2 minutes to respond to that.
Okay. I don't know anybody who could have better law enforcement experience than I do. And the current times are phenomenally distressing to me. I had a case as a defense counsel almost precisely like the one that is so notorious and sad and tragic now. I can remember my client's name, an elderly black man who was kneed, and I argued to the judge and to the prosecutor how what a civil rights violation was, how horrible it was, and he was going to be a three-time loser for, he was an elderly man for small drugs each time, and I begged them, and they turned down my motion to suppress, and it was very traumatic for him and for me, and then in their great humanity, they stepped aside from all the guidelines for sentencing and gave him a de minimis sentence, which was just enough to get him off drugs, sent him for a very small amount of time. And those are two of the finest people I've ever met in the justice system. And it was Larry Souza as the prosecutor and Mike Machado as one of the most humane and compassionate judges I've ever met. Also, we need reforms. The unions have taken it too far. Trish is supported by the union, but and I wouldn't take their support, but because I think they've taken it too far. I was in the French Quarter when a man was thrown up on a police car and they were beating on him, and I walked up and I said, stop. And the officer turned around, spun around, says, you're going to be on the car next. And I said, well, here's my credentials as a federal prosecutor, and let me introduce you to the special FBI agent standing next to me. You better get that man off that car and dust him off. And so I've been on the line, had
okay.
thousands of criminals.
All right, so listen, that's 2 minutes for Tom Rickoff. Let's go to Trish DeBerry for your response to how would you deal with the calls for police reform?
Well, I certainly think that it's a timely question. I spent some time down in Travis Park a couple of weeks ago. It was an interfaith ministry, and Black Lives Matter was down there as well. And certainly they're calling for reforms, rightly so. I am not an advocate for defunding the police departments, but I do think, obviously, that there have to be reforms that are implemented from a disciplinary standpoint. I mean, if we have rogue police officers that are not abiding by protocol and just implementing whatever they wish, then we have a problem. So we need to make sure, like I said, that we are at the table, and I'm proud to have the endorsement of law enforcement because 99.9% of the officers and the women and men that are giving their lives on the front line every single day, you know, certainly need to be respected. But it's not to say that there aren't bad apples in every bunch. And so I think, you know, look, bringing law enforcement to the table to be able to talk about reforms within the police department is long overdue. You know, I want to force that conversation. We have a jail that's a hot mess right now. You don't even need a get out of jail free card to be able to walk out of the jail. So we have some problems that are there, too. But I will tell you that bottom line is I will be able to take a vote on those matters. And I want to be able to take that vote. My opponent, as we've talked about before, is conflicted out and will not be able to take a vote on 40% of the jail administration public safety budget.
All right. So let's go to another voicemail question from Linda.
Good morning. My name is Linda. And this question is for both candidates. And it should go without saying that you all promise, if you're on the bench, to show up to work every day, because as a former probate attorney, I've had issues, especially when Tom Rickoff was on the bench. Thank you very much.
All right. So, Trish DeBerry, will you show up for work every day? Is this going to be your full-time number one job?
Yeah, I will certainly show up to work every day, as I have in my own business, and work 60 to 70 hours a week. I'm certainly not immune to a very hard work ethic. And, yes, I will take this position incredibly seriously. I will be on the bench every single court meeting. You know, I'll be digging into subcommittees. I'll be looking at creating task forces associated with, you know, term limit reform, campaign contribution reform, and like I talked about before, appraisal reform. But yes, I mean, I have an opponent online that's taken as many as 5 weeks of vacation when he was on the court, and I've never even taken a week's vacation in my business. So I don't think anybody that you would talk to in this community has any problem with my work ethic and managing and multitasking, because it's exactly what I do for a living every single day.
Tom Rickoff, can you respond to the caller's question?
I believe Trish is an enormously hard worker and is terrific at multitasking. And she just told you she's going to, and she told Brock how she was going to keep her baby, all of her taxpayer-paid contracts, and she didn't say she was getting rid of them on this show. She ought to this second say she's going to do that.
Okay, so let's hold the phone there. And so there's confusion about what Trish DeBerry says about what you're going to do with these contracts. So can you just lay it out for us, Trish DeBerry?
Okay, so let me clarify and repeat in case my opponent did not hear it the first time. I will walk away from any public sector contract that represents a real or perceived conflict of interest. And I will go back and underscore that 80 to 85% of my work at my business is in the private sector. And if I get into this job and into the seat, I will not pursue public sector work, period.
Okay, Tom Rickoff, will you show up for work every day? The caller was alluding to some of the stories that had been heard about you when you were on the probate.
Yes, I'm absolutely going to show up every day, just as I did when I was probate judge. That was an enormously difficult and busy court. We should have had three probate courts. And I just wish you would talk to other members of the bar, and you would find out that I've been one of the most respected judges in the state, and certainly one of the most experienced judges in the state. I don't know of another one that was on the appellate court. Incidentally, on the appellate court, I was chosen to give speeches because out of 38 judges, I was in the top five for writing opinions. And I was in the top prosecutor when I was a prosecutor. And I was very rarely have a terrific record on not being reversed when I was in probate court.
Okay. So we're going to—that was 2 minutes for all the back and forth on that. Real quick, I have 1 minute for both of you on this one question. The current chairperson for the Bexar County Republican Party, Cynthia Brim, the governor, Greg Abbott, and others have called for her to step down. Tom Rickoff, if you could talk about, do you endorse Cynthia Brim or do you want her to step down? What is your position with Cynthia Brim?
I follow the Phil Hardberger rule, not to mention Reagan's 11th commandment. When I'm in a race, I don't jump into somebody else's race. But I'll tell you, I did read some of those articles, and it looked to me like they were very confusing, the articles. It appeared she passed on someone else's tweet, and then all the articles, particularly Gilbert's, mixed in all these other things people said, and you couldn't tell who said what. So I found it somewhat confusing to decide what actually she said. But I'm not going to get in somebody else's race when I'm running my own race. That's what Phil Hardberger said.
Okay.
And, you know, he has a lot of good sense.
Trish DeBerry, where are you with the Cynthia Brim county chair for the GOP?
We certainly have some problems with the Bexar County chair. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's up to the voters to decide who they want in that office, and there's a runoff between those two candidates. But I've been very public and I've been very open about my displeasure with some of the comments and commentary that Cynthia Brim has made, calling the coronavirus a hoax. It is a confirmed virus. It has killed 100,000 people. Families are suffering as a result, and so I thought it was deeply insensitive and insulting for her to say something like that. You know, her recent tweet, there again, incredibly insulting regarding the death of George Floyd. You know, we need in a Republican Party chair somebody who's going to bring people together and not tear people apart. We have a lot of work to do in this county regarding attracting more people to the Republican Party.
Thank you. All right. So we have time for 1 minute closing statements. Tom Rickoff, you go first, and then Trish DeBerry will follow with that. So Tom, you have 1 minute.
David, the hugest waste, the most awful waste I told you about, arm's length, and that was the creation of Plethora, where they wanted to put a goddess, a huge head, on the San Pedro Creek. It turned out it couldn't be manufactured. The artist stole $153,000, and Trish and Nelson were in charge of explaining that to the public. Both Pastor Hagee and the Archbishop Siller sent letters in and said, what is this? A goddess who's supposed to be worshipped right next to Father Pio's church, right where Father Olivares celebrated the first Mass when he founded San Antonio? This is outrageous. It was a $750,000 project, and they wrote up that tourists would fly in to see this great work of art. It'll never be produced.
Okay, that was 1 minute, and I have to cut you off because we're on the clock here. And so, Trish DeBerry, you have 1 minute to give your closing statement.
Okay. First of all, thank you, Dave, and thanks for the opportunity to be able to talk to your listeners. There's a very stark comparison between the two candidates. One, you have, in Tom Rickoff, you have a career politician who's been at the public dole for far too long and has never worked in the private sector. I am in this race because I bring a skill set that I think can be very helpful, especially in recovering in a global pandemic from an economic standpoint, I think from a cutting spending standpoint, and I think from a Republican values standpoint. You know, I've articulated very well some of the ideas that I have regarding what I want to do when I get into the office. Mr. Rickoff has done nothing but engage in negative campaigning and probably hasn't answered a lot of the questions that we have here. I'm not about negative campaigning. I'm about speaking the truth. I'm about coming up with bold vision, fresh energy, new ideas, and I want to put people back to work, and I want to be on Commissioner's Court. And like I said, I want to give taxpayers a voice.
Okay, and so that was Trish DeBerry, and she is running and in the runoff along with Tom Rickoff. They're the two candidates that Republican voters can choose in the primary runoff. That runoff is on July 14th. Early voting is on June 29th. They're running to be the nominee for the Republican nominee for the Bexar County Precinct 3. The winner of that runoff will face the Democratic nominee, Christina Hortick, in the November 3rd. General election. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.